Place to Be Nation, thank you for checking out episode 4 of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me for another fun-filled episode is Kelly. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't complain. First up this week is the third single from the 2004 album Breakaway. We will be discussing Because of You by Kelly Clarkson. This song was released in November 2004 as part of that album, released as a single in 2005, but in doing my research for this, I saw that Kelly Clarkson herself wrote the lyrics to this song when she was 16 years old, which would have been roughly 1998. Kelly, what drew you to this song?
Well, I kind of said it last week too, but a friend of mine wanted me to do this song, but I like this song. I mean, I'm a fan of her. I think she's almost, I was listening to her in the car today with my daughter and she's like, wow, she can sing, you know? And I think that a girl can sing and I'm a fan of her, so.
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson, I think, is a real underrated voice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of her start winning the American Idol, maybe people, you know, sleep on her because it's almost like that's a, I can't even think of the proper word, like a machine-produced thing and not something organic.
Yeah.
But she, yeah, the girl's got talent. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And in another tie-in to earlier episodes of Songs with Friends, Kelly Clarkson wrote the lyrics, but to help her with the arrangement and production of the song was two of the guys from Evanescence. So that is a fun little Easter egg for you guys, long-term listeners of the show. Long-term being 4 episodes.
That's commitment.
Hey, for any of you who have joined us for all 4, God bless you. There have been some ups and downs on this bad boy already.
I read that, though. I was excited to know that about that song because I didn't know that. So.
All right. Well, typically I've been reading the lyrics and kind of guiding the conversation, but I feel like Kelly is a grizzled podcast veteran at this point. She's got her feet in the water a little bit, so I'm going to hand this off to Kelly for the deep dive into Kelly Clarkson's Because of You.
Yes, because my 4th podcast makes me a pro now, right?
That's right. You are okay. My second podcast ever was with Will from Texas and Chris Zelder, who between them have been podcasting for approximately 73 years and 800,000 episodes. So here at Place to Be Nation, we believe in learning to swim by being thrown in the water by the abusive dad.
Yes, there you go. Luckily, I did not have to learn to swim that way. So, all right, we'll go ahead. We'll start. So, you know, it starts out, I will not make the same mistakes that you did. I will not let myself cause my heart so much misery. So for me, when I read that, I mean, I guess you could take this song in so many different ways. I think of a lot of like a parent-child relationship, but it, you know, could go for couples too, I guess. But just when I read that, I think about, you know, when you're growing up and you're seeing whatever happens in your household, you don't want maybe some of those things to be part of your adulthood. So that's just, you know, that's what I see when I read that part. What do you think, Steve?
You know, I have really gotten, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I've gotten real heavy into Kelly Clarkson maybe in the last year. Like, it's taken me that long. This song is heavy in my rotation. I'll probably listen to it once a week. And this entire time, the thought never occurred to me that this was about someone's parents.
Oh.
I don't know how. As part of the prep for our shows, we watched the music videos, and it became glaringly apparent right away that this was a song of a girl coping with her parents' relationship.
Uh-huh.
My interpretation has always been coming out of a bad relationship. But yeah, now that I know that it's about the parents, I can't unsee that.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly, you know, I will not make the same mistakes that you did. We've kind of delved into my, I don't want to say traumatic, but my irregular upbringing here on the show. Aww. Already. And that is pretty much how I base my entire life. I've always stated as where my parents zigged, I zagged. I did the exact opposite they did to end up in a reasonably successful position in life. And I think that lyric really reflects that well.
Yeah. Noah, that's awesome. That you know that you figured that out for yourself. Not a lot of people do. So, all right. And then we have, I will not break the way you did. You fell so hard. I've learned the hard way to never let it get that far. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Okay. Now, this is coming from the eyes of a child who saw the adults in their life fail miserably. We don't know if it was a drug abuse, substance abuse issue, or just a complete shutdown and letting the depression and the overwhelming stress of parenthood make them shut down. Whatever it is, I think Kelly Clarkson here is saying that, you know, she's going to nip whatever stressor in her life, you know, she's going to nip it before it gets to that point where it's a fire that you can't put out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I just think, and it can mess you up too, I think, but you know, you see those things your parents did and it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to let that happen to me or family members. For me, it was, I could look at this as like, I have older brothers that, you know, have both struggled with addiction in their life. And I think as a, that kind of seeing them go through that helped me see that was something I didn't want to have, you know, that I didn't want in my life. So it sounds messed up, but a lot of times I'm like thankful that I got to see that from them because it let me know I'm not going to try that. I don't want to be a part of that. So,
you know, and on another level, last week we talked about Metallica and, you know, notwithstanding the crazy ass hypotheses I came up with on Metallica.
We are going to get sued. I just know. You but, are.
In the, I think it was a Behind the Music that VH1 did about Metallica. Not the first time VH1 will be brought up in this show, by the way.
Those were the best.
Yes,
I loved that.
They talked about that tour that Metallica did with Guns N' Roses, in which that was at the peak of probably both their popularities and at the absolute crescendo of Axl Rose being a self-destructive moron. And they had said that, you know, that was their first big stadium headline tour, Metallica's, and that they learned a whole lot on that tour about what not to do. You know, I think that having a bad example, you know, if you're smart enough to take that knowledge, is an invaluable lesson.
Yes.
Prior to us starting this podcast, I'd mentioned to Kelly that we, you know, I've been listening to podcasts for 10 years. And hadn't really heard a bad one until recently. But hearing bad podcast helped us prepare it to make sure we weren't on that level and to try to give you people, the Place to Be Nation, a fine audio accompaniment to your day.
Exactly. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, next part. Because of you, I will never stray too far from the sidewalk. Because of you, I learned to play on the safe side so I don't get hurt. So me personally, I just relate to that. And I could never really pinpoint where in my life this way, you know, what even made me this way. But I just, in general, just try to protect my heart. And I feel everyone's going to let you down. Everyone. Like, and it's not in a bad way. I just think it's the reality. Your child, anybody, a parent. And so I kind of have this in me. And I don't know if it's always good or bad, to be honest with you, but I don't like to think that I'm cynical or it's just real. I guess I like to say I'm a realist, so I try to see things for what they are. But I love people that don't live this way, that can just go all hard in on everything. I think they're awesome. I'm just not one of them. So.
And that's very relatable. On the other end, I think Kelly here, Kelly Clarkson, not Kelly, no last name given here on the podcast.
The secret.
I think Kelly Clarkson takes that to the extreme, never straying too far from the sidewalk, playing on the safe side. This strikes me as someone who is afraid to take any kind of risk whatsoever. And that can be a very confining situation to put yourself in.
That's true.
And one that can get unhealthy if you allow it to.
That's true. I would agree with that. So, all right. So we got, because of you, I find it hard to trust not only me, but everyone around me. Because of you, I'm afraid I lose my way and it's not too long before you point it out. I'll let you go there, Steve.
See, I think this segment of lyrics here is what made me think it was about a relationship, a romantic relationship. I pictured a young girl, which Kelly Clarkson would have been 23 years old when this album came out. 22. I know that because she's only 2 months younger than I am. a young girl with a relationship. Maybe the person's older, but either way, it is someone controlling and not wanting her to thrive. Oftentimes, in abusive relationships, you will see this form of mental control, saying, "You know, you're not pretty. Nobody's going to want you. You know, I'm all you're going to have." Because of you, I am afraid I lose my way, and it's not too long before you point it out. That's someone needling every mistake and chipping away at that person's self-esteem. That was my early interpretation of that.
I don't think that's wrong. I don't think, because that's what I was, as this song goes on to me, there's, I don't know, it becomes more maybe relationship for me where I can relate. So I would agree with that. And that's how the next section, I cannot cry because I know that's weakness in your eyes. I'm forced to fake a smile, a laugh every day of my life. And I know for me personally, I just think any relationship that you're in, I mean, I have been in relationships where it's more of like, if you're upset, what can we do to just shut you up, get over it, move on, you know? And it can really teach you that when I was younger, I felt like maybe I didn't cry that much, and I maybe did feel that it was weak. But as I get older, I just realize, shit, sometimes you just got to cry, like get in the shower and cry. It just is what it is. But not, and I don't want to be male bashing, but I just think a lot of men are uncomfortable by that. And so I don't think it's abnormal that many women feel like maybe, you know, crying is weak. And I think that men are taught that even sometimes. And so I remember that I never even saw my dad cry till I was probably 8 or 10 years old. I can't remember. Maybe it was 9. My grandmother had passed away, and I saw my dad cry, and I thought that was the first time I'd ever seen him cry. And I just, you know, I almost at that point thought he never cried. And I think that's normal for a lot of guys. So, but let's hear your view on that, Steve.
Yeah, this hit me hard as the father of a girl. Oh, my daughter's 13, and you know, as they're growing up, you don't want to raise a crybaby, you know, regardless of gender. So you're, you know, don't cry, you know, unless you're bleeding or, you know, something legit traumatic happens, don't cry. And that could lead to stifling of emotions. There's times when I just got to tell my daughter, hey, let it out. You know, it's okay. You know,
yeah.
Emotions happen. Are you familiar with the film The Great Santini, Kelly?
No.
This was late 70s. Robert Duvall is this military dad who is just the biggest fucking asshole you ever saw in your life. To the point where he's playing basketball with his son, and he's just aggressively, like, this kid's got to be 17, 18 years old. He's just aggressively making sure the kid loses.
Yeah.
Just to have that hold over him. Like, fouling him intentionally, you know, calling him out on it if he complains about it. Just craziness. And you don't want to see, even if you're not like that, you don't want your child to see you as a Grant Santini-like character.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have that loving relationship while at the same time guiding them. And it's a difficult balancing act sometimes.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I know my daughter, she does not like crying, and she does not cry. And it worries me sometimes, to be honest with you, but she's just like, I mean, she'll just, when kids get to crying, she's like, I don't get it. Like, why are they acting like that? Whatever. And I think part of it is just maybe she's not had a lot of things in her life that have made her, I don't know, but she just, I feel like she does think it's weak. And I always feel like, damn, what did I do wrong? But
see, mine's the opposite. She tries not to, like, she'll fight it, but she's a very sensitive child.
Yeah.
But she's also the type that probably holds the receipts on every time I've ever made her cry. So, you know, I'll worry sick about that, you know?
Yep.
I'm just hoping I'm doing the best I can for this child.
That's all you can do.
So that in 20 years, she's not on VH1 singing songs about me.
Yes. Well, no, there's that quote, like, you need to raise your child in a, I don't know, it's something about, I'm going to mess this up, but they shouldn't have to recover from their childhood, basically, you know? And right. That's kind of what I think most parents, that's your intention, but somehow, some way, I mean, I was raised in a house with 3 siblings, and I feel like we couldn't really be more different in a lot of ways. And you would have thought some of us were just raised by, like, two heathens that didn't give an F about us. You know what I mean? Like, I just, and I don't understand it, because I'm like, we were all in the same, pretty close in age, and it's just weird how every child responds. It's like, it's insane. Anyways, I'm getting way off track there.
Hey, it's so, all good.
It's all good. Okay, so next we got, my heart can't possibly break when it wasn't even whole to start with. And so, I don't know, for me there, I mean, I just think, you know, you can feel very broke. I mean, it's sad to think that video, I don't know, it just, I watched it last night and I was like, oh gosh, it actually, like, I was almost crying because I didn't have to deal with this in my life. But, you know, I think if you just grow up and you already feel like your heart's just broken, how do you ever recover from that in your adulthood? I mean, some people can, some people don't. That is, it's kind of sad.
All right, for those of you who haven't seen this video that we've been calling back to, yes, a couple times, it starts with current day in 2005, Kelly Clarkson in a argument with her significant other, because there's a oldish, you know, older than a toddler child running around. We'll assume they're married, but who knows? they're in the midst of a heated argument, and then there's a freeze frame, and Kelly Clarkson notices what we learn is the child version of Kelly Clarkson observing. And then it goes to her as a child watching her parents shut down and argue and fight. And the dad leaves at one point, and the mom shuts down completely, and it is a heavy video. I had never seen it. I never seen it until the day after we recorded our last episode. I sat down and watched it for the first time, and like, I needed a minute, you know?
Yeah. Her dad's like leaving and she's like pulling on his suitcase.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God.
Like, this is the worst thing ever.
Very, yes. Very sad.
Like, it's just hard seeing that from the child's perspective. It's easy, and it's going to get referenced here in a minute. It's easy as an adult to get caught up in your own nonsense and to forget, you know, how it can look from the child's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, this line of my heart couldn't possibly break when it wasn't even a hole to start with, I think that's probably the most powerful line of the whole song.
Yeah.
That's indicative of someone in their formative years not observing how a relationship's supposed to work and how to develop that trust and that bond to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't let anybody in, you know, you're essentially going to be incomplete as a person. And I don't mean that in a harsh way, just for your emotional well-being. That's just how humans are wired.
Yeah.
You know, we need someone to bond with in some way.
I would agree. I mean, I think it's really sad when I meet people, especially like my age, and I'm like, you've never been in a serious relationship. You know, I'm like, wow. I mean, because that's crazy, you know, but I meet people pretty frequently that are like, well, you know, their longest relationship's a year or two. And I mean, I'm just like, wow, you know, I mean, but I just think that's probably their part of not wanting to let someone in or being too picky, or there's probably a whole bunch of reasons, but all right, we'll move on to the next part. Okay. So, it's, I watched you die, heard you cry every night in your sleep. I was so young, you should have known better than to lean on me. So that's pretty terrible. I think anyone though, I mean, you know, my parents were married for almost 40 years, and I just feel like, of course, when I was growing up, I saw my mom cry and my parents fight, and, you know, I mean, and I think some of that you need to see. I think you can almost shelter your kids from, you know, I have a good friend that always talks about her parents never fought. And so when she got married initially and her husband and her were fighting, she wanted out because she didn't realize couples fought. You know, I mean, so you, if what you're teaching your kids sometimes by not showing them what's going on can actually do. I mean, when she said that to me, I was like, yeah, I can see that, because she just assumed, well, adults that are happy and married, they get along all the time. And that's just not the reality. But I mean, I just don't think your children should know anything about the bad stuff that maybe goes on between two adults. And I think where a lot of people mess up is they start sharing that with the kid and then confiding in them and going to them for comfort. And that's right. That's dead wrong.
Yes. So. Eve, as friendly as you can be with your child, and that, I say child, I mean that up through the time that they were living in your house, you know?
Yeah.
It could be high school age kids. You have to remember at the end of the day, you know, it's not a friend relationship.
No.
You're not on the same level.
I'm your mom.
Yes, exactly. And you need to help foster a healthy relationship with the dad or mom or whatever the opposite partner is, even if you guys aren't together. You
know, mm-hmm.
Don't pit your kid against your partner.
Yeah.
No matter what the circumstances are. In reading this, the rule of my house is, you know, because you're not going to agree on everything. I don't like to yell in disputes. That can trigger all kinds of. I'm a scary yeller. You know, it's happened maybe 5 times in 15 years where I've just flat out had to yell at somebody.
Yeah.
One time there was a dog literally pissing on me, and it just threw me past the limit. You know, it takes a lot.
I'm actually kind of surprised that made you that mad.
It wasn't my dog.
Okay.
But I'm all about, you can hash it out and have your disagreements in front of the child. I don't like the parents to be yelling at each other in front of the kid.
Yeah.
I think that's a step too far, but you know, I'm not here to tell you how to parent. I'm here to go through song lyrics and come up with crazy backstories.
Yeah, we're not specialists in any way.
No. As we've learned on this show, I'm not the one to go to for your relationship advice.
Yes.
Rereading this, I was so young, you should have known better than to lean on me. Like, I'm an idiot for not knowing this was about parents.
Well, you might have heard it when you had a breakout. You know, hey, stuff happens. I, you know, that's what I love about this, though. What you think about a song. I think from our first show, my friend Nikki was like, oh, no. When you talked about the Dido thing, I almost wanted to have a rebuttal show with her because she had very strong views opposite of what you thought. And I thought it was kind of funny. So, I mean, everybody takes things different.
So I can't remember what song it was that we both had differing opinions on. And then Stacy from Australia, great listener of the show. She pointed out that in her mind that song was a gay anthem because she heard it on Glee. You know, that's the beauty.
It was Landslide, yeah.
It was Landslide. And that's the beauty of music is, you know, it can take you in any different direction based on your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fucking buffoon for not realizing that.
It's all good. We'll forgive you.
In my mind, it was a young girl in a relationship with someone who, you know, she was not prepared for that. It turns out she was young. You know, she was likely 8 years old.
Yeah. Very young. Very young. Okay. All right. So then we got, you never thought of anyone else. You just saw your pain. And now I cry in the middle of the night for the same damn thing. So I'll let you go ahead, Steve. What do you think?
You know, we touched on Kelly Clarkson's voice and how great it is. This part right here. And now I cry in the middle of the night for the same damn thing. Watching this video, you know, granted, it's a music video. It's a performance. She could be a hell of an actor. But I felt her pain in her soul on this part. The expressiveness in her face as she belted this out was just, hearing it sonically was amazing. But actually seeing her do it was a whole nother level. This is the pain of someone coming to the realization that they're essentially broken. Not unfixable, but for the moment, broken. You know, they've come up with these ideas that they're coming to the realization that they need help. Never thought of anyone else. You just saw your pain, and now I am also thinking of myself and not seeing how I'm affecting others. That was my interpretation.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I think, I mean, just personally going through something like this, it can be hard, I feel, to when you're even when I lost my mom, I felt like I probably wasn't the best mom I could have been during that period of my life. And it's unfortunate, you know, because I look back and I'm like, I probably could have been a better mom. But I mean, we are real people and stuff happens. And I always tell my daughter, like, I want her to know pain is real. Stuff happens. Like, you need to, you know, everything is not roses all the time in life. And so, but I think you can be to where, like, you're not getting out of bed, or you're depressed, or you're medicated, or you're drinking all the time, and then your kids are just lost. And, you know, you, that's very selfish, and you just, you can't afford to do that when you have children in your house, in my opinion anyways. But yes. Okay, so we're almost done.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, so we got, I try my hardest just to forget everything because of you. I don't know how to let anyone else in because of you. I'm ashamed of my life because it's empty. Because of you, I am afraid. So I'll let you go ahead there.
All right. That's,
what's your thoughts?
That's a lot to take in there.
I know.
Again, that kind of goes, excuse me, goes into my last point of realizing all these things. Having this moment of clarity, you know, because of you, because of my parents who were so messed up as adults that they couldn't show me how to be an adult and how to process my feelings and how to let people in. Because of you, I'm afraid. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid of, could be afraid of letting someone in, could be afraid of sabotaging the relationship yourself. And no, not, this is a real thing. Some people will not allow themselves to have good things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will intentionally go in and sabotage when things are going too well. And that's, you know, that's not a healthy state of affairs when you're in that situation.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's just sad. I think you can grow up feeling, I don't know. I feel like I had a really, this is weird, but I feel like having like a good dad as a girl is a big thing. And I always think that a lot of how good I feel about myself or my self-worth or whatever, it really started with my, even though I was super close to my mom, I feel like it started with my dad. And I think he always made me feel very loved and valued and strong and all those things. And so, I just feel like he made me feel very worthy of things in life. And so I think like those opposite parent relationships are very important. And I think people really assume like father, son, mother, daughter, but I don't really think that's always the case.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that about wraps us up for Because of You. Kelly, any closing thoughts before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. And now we move on from 2004 to 1983 from the album Can't Slow Down. This is Hello by Lionel Richie. Now, I picked this song because I listened to it one night, God, probably 5 years ago now. Late at night, I downloaded some 1,500 song pack from LimeWire or something.
Again, you're going to jail.
Pretty much. But this song came on shuffle, and I had never really stopped to listen to it before, and I thought, holy shit, this song is terrifying. Got a picture, you know, it's pitch black in my house, probably 1:30 in the morning, sitting in bed with headphones on, listening to this jerry-curled stalker bastard sing to this blind girl. And yeah, it's dark, man, it's dark. So that being said, real quick before we deep dive, have you watched the not just the video, but have you seen the Jimmy Fallon version of this?
No.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I feel like I really missed out now.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit off air, and Kelly confided in me that she isn't sure that she had actually seen this music video before.
Uh-uh.
Which blew my mind. Because as I told Kelly, now I'll tell the listeners. This was a big staple on VH1 pop-up video in the late 90s, so I probably watched this once a day for probably about 4 months, with the pop-up fun facts. For those of you who haven't seen it, he's a teacher, probably an adult education type scenario. Everyone looks 35, but it's the 80s, so they could be 15, they could be 40. Like, who the fuck knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
And he's teaching this art class. And this pretty blind girl, not blonde, blind, as in visually impaired, is in the class. And he is madly in love with her. And throughout the song, throughout the video, he keeps trying to approach her, but keeps getting interrupted. Thank God, because he would have broken some sort of law, I'm sure. But yeah, we'll get into it from there. That's pretty much all you need to know. However, in this Jimmy Fallon version, which Kelly has never seen, and I will make sure she sees this tonight, Jimmy Fallon is Lionel Richie in the art class with the Lionel Richie hair.
Oh, okay.
And Lionel Richie himself is the sculpture.
Oh, my word. That sounds awesome.
It is. Lionel Richie keeps breaking while they're trying to perform this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it is one of my favorite bits in the history of late-night television.
Well, what I ran across, which was rather terrifying, it was a video it was a video without the music, and it had, like, just not a lot of talking, and every now, like, the hello would come in, and it was extremely, like, creepy. It was extremely, like, terrifying. He just seemed like the most stalkerish. I'll have to send it to you. I just was like, what is going on? But it was maybe like a minute and a half, but it was, yeah, it looked like this dude is off. Something's wrong with him.
Fantastic. So I'm glad I'm not the only one who got the creeper vibe from Lionel Richie's Hello. All right, going into the lyrics now. I've been alone with you inside my mind, and in my dreams I've kissed your lips 1,000 times. All right, so he's a teacher with a blind girl, fantasizing about being alone with the visually impaired. She'll never see which direction he's coming from.
Yes.
But he's going to kiss her lips. Not 999 times, not 1,001, but precisely 1,000 times.
Yep.
All right, assuming, you know, just take the video aspect out of it, that it's not a blind girl, and it's just a girl in his life. Why doesn't he just approach her? Hi, I'm Lionel. You may have heard of me. I'm a Commodore. Can I take you out to a slice of pizza?
Yes, she would have went. Because it's probably, you know, what is it? When you have shy, you're shy. Not when you're him, but, you know, take it back to ninth grade, eighth grade, you know?
That man was wearing a jumpsuit with bell bottoms and high heels. There's nothing shy about Lionel Richie.
This is true. This is true.
I sometimes see you pass outside my door. What in the hell? Hello?
So scary.
Is it me you're looking for? All right. I'm picturing like an apartment complex. I don't know why Lionel Richie's in an apartment in 1983. He's making Motown money.
Yeah.
But he sees this girl walking by, and, you know, maybe he is shy. But this whole, is it me you're looking for? That is, like, that's weird. I don't dig that. Especially if he's asking a blind girl, is it me you're looking for?
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was a poor choice of character for this video. Oh shit.
So, Kelly, we know that I'm going to take this one to the extreme. Do you have a more censored, reasonable viewpoint on this?
No, because I knew you were going to take this to the craziest place that we could find. I was like, this song is going to get out of control. I was originally thinking, and I'm gonna sound like a creepy person right now, but you know, when you're shy, like, I will not say his name, but when I was in junior high, I had the biggest crush on this guy ever. And I used to think, you know, I would think about him when I went to bed or, you know, whatever. And just, I never, hardly ever spoke to him. I mean, we're like social media friends now, but I would never want him to know. And I was a kid. I didn't know how to talk to boys. He probably didn't know how to talk to me or whatever. So it made me think of, well, and I think there's adults, men that are women, that just aren't comfortable approaching men or women. So if you're not looking at it from the creeper vibe, it's just somebody that, you know, you're interested in them, but you're afraid to talk to them.
All right. Thank you for bringing us back home. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted. And my arms are open wide. All right, I'll cut him some slack on this one.
Okay.
He sees it in her eyes. You know, she's blind, so who knows what those eyes are doing. But, and all he knows about this girl at this point is that she's pretty, essentially. she checks off every box of what he finds attractive, and he wants to know more. That, to me, that my arms are open wide. That's not literally I'm coming at this blind girl to hug her against her will. That is my arms are welcoming. You know, I want to know more about you, kind of. And that's how I interpret that. Yeah. Kelly, what say you?
Yeah, no, I could see that. And I think this is a girl thing, you know, because I always have an argument with one of my good guy friends about this. You know, we want to be liked for other reasons. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, when you meet someone, what you see is what you're generally attracted to. I think everybody wants to think that someone wants them for a lot of other reasons. And hopefully that changes as they get to know you. But I mean, yeah, to me, it's okay. I get it. But it's superficial. It's like, oh, I see you. You're hot. I want you. But, you know, you can talk to someone for 20 minutes and all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, this is, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, all of a sudden they're not attractive to you. So
have you ever seen the LL Cool J movie? Deliver Us from Eva.
That's going to be another no. random movies.
I don't think a whole lot of the Place to Be Nation has watched this movie. It's one of my favorites.
The world? Oh, gosh.
It's a legit good movie for the most part.
Okay, all right.
The premise is that Gabrielle Union is one of four beautiful sisters. And three of the sisters are in committed relationships. But Gabrielle Union is Eva. She's the only single one. And she is making life difficult on all these men because the parents died young. She's essentially taking the mother hen role. And LL Cool J is recruited by these guys to help break her down so that she'll get off their backs.
Oh, gosh.
Well, he ends up falling in love with her, blah, 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 you know. But the first date, she's just being complete stonewall to him. And he's like, hey, you know, I just want to get to know you. And she says, you know, why? Because I'm pretty. And he just flat out says, well, yes.
Well, yes.
And she, you know, she stink eyes him for a second. Like, what the hell is this guy's problem? They said, but that's all I know about you so far because you won't answer any questions. Let me get to know you. I want to get to know you solely because you're pretty. But, you know, let's give this a chance.
Yeah.
And that warmed her up a bit. I thought that was a pretty honest depiction of how the early part of the relationship is most of the time.
Yeah.
Hey, physically, I'm drawn to you. Let's see if there's something here we can work with.
Yeah.
You know, because there are some beautiful people who just are the dirt worst. I won't say any names. There's certain political commentators who would certainly fall under this. But I'll try to stay politic neutral here on the show. So I won't get into that.
I can't guarantee that I would, but yeah.
So yeah, that's essentially all he knows at this point. All right, moving on. Because you know just what to say, and you know just what to do, and I want to tell you so much. I love you. All right, that's
too far.
That's a big jump. Like, he knows things about her. She doesn't necessarily know much about him. Like, you gotta have some reciprocation before you jump right into I love you. This next line, though, is where he really did a full-on hill turn for me. I long to see the sunlight in your hair. He tells the visually impaired woman he longs to see the sunlight in her hair. That is just rubbing salt in the blind wound.
Yes! That video would get lots of, like, today, people would be in outrage.
As a man in a position of power in more ways than one.
Yes.
A teacher and a visually able person. Stalking his prey.
Yes.
I long to see the sunlight in your hair and tell you time and time again how much I care. Sometimes I feel my heart will overflow. Hello? I've just got to let you know. This hello callback is starting to creep me out.
Yeah.
Like, I picture this now that he's on a telephone. And at some point in the video, he is on a phone, isn't he?
Yes, yes. I think he calls her house or something. I
mean, yes,
like, probably. He's, like, laying in bed. And
probably, yeah, she's reading a Braille book. That's right.
Yes, he calls. He probably doesn't even talk to her, though. He's just a creeper calling. And that was before caller ID.
like he looked up the number in the student directory. Like he didn't ask her for it straight up.
Yeah.
He uses executive powers.
Yes.
So, hey, let me get Sandy's number. We need to call her about a grade. And then he calls her, just starts breathing heavy.
Yeah.
Ask, is it me you're looking for?
That is creepy.
Oh, it gets so weird so fast.
Well, and it's too far. Like, well, some people believe, I don't believe in this, but some people believe in that love and first sight thing. And then they, I mean, you know, I know a few couples that were, know each other very shortly, like weeks, and got married and are still together. So I don't buy into that, but I guess maybe that's what he was hoping for. I don't know.
And while I'm thinking about this, why did things go so poorly in Lionel Richie's life that he went from a Commodore to a teacher at a YMCA type scenario?
Yeah.
Times have gone bad.
Yeah.
Because I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you do. All right. Like 8 lines ago, he loved her. But now he doesn't know where she is or what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, he thinks she's pretty, so he's in love. It's not healthy.
Yeah. It's not love.
Are you somewhere feeling lonely, or is someone loving you?
He doesn't even know if she's single.
Thank you. It really delves into some stalkerish situations here. I touched base with Kelly briefly before we started recording. I don't know how many of you guys will be aware of this, especially those of you who aren't on Twitter, of this young man who went crazy with some chick at a Wendy's, woman, excuse me. Don't want to get bashed for being sexist here. He pretty much got her first name only from her name tag. I don't know if this whole thing is true or not, but he put it out there. And then proceeded to stalk her in the scariest possible ways, revealed himself to her as the stalker, and then didn't understand why she ran away. Like, this song is for that guy.
Yes.
It is not healthy behavior at all. As my dog barks in agreement.
Yes.
Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me start by saying I love you.
It's so creepy.
Nah, man, that's not the way. If you don't start with I love you, you work up to I love you.
Yeah. I think I used to listen to this song and think like, oh, it was a friend, and then he got to know her, and I love you. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's not what these lyrics are saying, but I think just listening to it on the radio was like, oh, yeah, I know her. I haven't found a way to tell her I love her yet. But this is like, I don't know you, and I want to tell you I love you.
Now, what kind of friend doesn't know if she's somewhere feeling lonely if someone is loving her?
I don't know.
He is a fringe acquaintance at best.
I feel like she doesn't even know him, really. She might not even know his name.
I'm getting the vibe. He's Mr. Richie.
Yes.
Hello, is it me you're looking for? Because I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you do. Are you somewhere feeling lonely, or is someone loving you? Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me start by saying I love you. Lionel Richie, you creeper son of a bitch. Songs with Friends is on to you. But we're not going to let your 75-year-old ass hurt anybody else. You hear me?
But he has some other songs that I really love that I find less creepy for sure.
Now, are you aware that he did like a country revival a few years back?
I did not know that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I got super excited one night, some random Saturday on CBS. There was Lionel Richie and Friends in concert. I'm thinking, hot damn, this is going to be a good night. I'm going to see Smokey Robinson and Commodores or whoever. And no, it's like fucking Brad Paisley. And like when did Lionel Richie start hanging out with Montgomery Gentry?
Wow, like, yeah.
These aren't your friends, Lionel. What the hell's happening?
Well, country music pulls in a lot of people, I'm telling you.
And that was...
That's Timberlake's over there doing it, you know?
Don't remind me of that.
I know.
Well, this was pretty much when CDs stopped selling. Everything plummeted except for country music. So I think a lot of artists switched their allegiances to country because they saw it as a last-ditch effort to make money. Now, with Darius Rucker, that's worked out pretty well for him. And I have my own theories little bit of a sidebar on why that collapse took longer. I think it is because that audience is less likely to be technologically adept.
So are you calling people that listen to country music? I don't know what the right word is.
Rural.
Behind is the, with the time. Rural, okay.
Rural is what I'm going with.
There is a lot of country music listeners where I live, so yes. It's...
But think about this. I don't know about how it is in West Texas, but here in Kentucky, which is also a country stronghold, even where I live, the county where I live, I'm pretty well connected to the internet, but you go 5 miles in any direction, and the only hope for internet is satellite internet or dial-up.
Yeah.
Which either has massive data caps or is slow as can be. So downloading music or even watching streaming things isn't really an option. People who live in these conditions tend to gravitate toward country music.
Yeah.
Because of the tractors and the moonshine and the dog leaving you and all that other horse shit that comes with country music. So, you know.
Well, Texans are a fan of it's a thing, like Texas country music. I didn't know this till I moved here. They're not so into the Nashville country. They got their own local Texas people that tour the state. That's what they're a fan of, a lot of them.
Now
they're probably buying CDs.
Exactly. That is a scoop, guys.
Yeah.
Texas versus Tennessee is still a thing.
Oh, for sure.
Fantastic. All right. That will about wrap us up for episode 4 of Songs with Friends. Kelly, is there anything you want to plug this week?
No, I mean, I guess, well, this is what I always say. You can follow me on Twitter at KelJean17 or Instagram, I guess. It's the same, KelJean17.
All right, guys, you can follow me at NotDrDef, and you can follow the show Twitter page at PTBN_songs. Those DMs are open if you want to give us feedback, send us song requests, etc. And now we will reveal what we picked for next week. As we record this, Drake is about to drop a double album for God only knows what reason. So This is as good a time as any to dive into Marvin's Room from 2011. That is my pick. Drake, Marvin's Room. That is a request from friend of the show, Cameron Hawkins. Follow him at Seahawk, that's CEEHAWK, for a full day's worth of shenanigans and malarkey.
I'm excited about that.
Kelly,
what
is your pick?
Okay, well, this probably will not be shocking. We're going to do a Stain song, but we're going to do It's Been a While. So this is... I'll probably become Lionel Richie during that episode. I have a mad crush on this man, so you might send a restraining order to our show after. But anyways, that's my pick for next week.
All right, Kelly sitting outside of Aaron Lewis's window.
Yes, I just saw him recently. So
asking if
a few weeks ago.
Asking if it's you that he's looking for. That's my new happy place.
Yes, very creepy. It's like an 18-year crush. It's probably very unhealthy, but it is what it is.
Hey, stick with what you know. I can't be mad about that. All right, guys, I do want to put out a reminder, too, that you can email us at ptbnsongswithfriends@gmail.com if you're not on the Twitter. And you can join us next time right here on Songs with Friends. Thanks for checking us out.